I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the situation in Saudi Arabia and its relationship to Georgetown University. Saudi Arabia and Georgetown University. Now, what does one have to do with the other? Well, we have mentioned it briefly on the program before, how you have a program at Georgetown University that is called the Bridge Initiative. The Bridge Initiative. And this is financed by a Saudi Arabian Prince Al-Walid bin Talal. And there at Georgetown, they have the Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding. And this is all also called the Bridge Initiative. Now, anybody can go to the Georgetown University website. You go to that website, you can just type in the Bridge Initiative, Georgetown University, and you go there at bridge.georgetown.edu/, and you can see right off the bat what this whole thing is about. The whole purpose of it is not to build any kind of objective understanding whatsoever. That's all a sham. The whole purpose of it is to promote Islamic propaganda in the United States and to advance the false narrative about so-called Islamophobia. And the situation is so bad, it's just unbelievable. It's even worse than I thought before. I want you to listen to the audio that they have. When you click on their website, this is the audio that you hear. Listen.
In the United States in 2015, there was an attack on Muslims every 48 hours. 12 American Muslims, or those likely perceived to be Muslim, were murdered in 2015. And mosques across the country were targeted as people prayed inside. Anti-Muslim prejudice and discrimination hurts people, and it shakes the foundations of the values we all hold dear. At the Bridge Initiative, we are here to help. Housed at Georgetown University, we conduct research on the problem of Islamophobia, its consequences, and the solutions for it. We compile stats, conduct surveys, write analytical articles, publish reports, and distribute all of it through social media so that it reaches the world. As a hub for education on Islamophobia, we provide a place where you can do your own research. Our custom search engine, interactive map, and thematic pages help you find what you want to know. We also have a number of platforms that you can contribute to. At Islamophobia Reframed, we feature op-eds and analysis from contributors. And at My Bridge Story, we house individuals' personal stories about Islamophobia. The impact of all of this, we hope, is a world with less fear, misinformation, and conflict. In their place, we hope that education, understanding, and connection grow. We hope you'll join us as we build bridges to end Islamophobia.
So that's their presentation. Now you have to go online and actually watch this on their website, because of course they're showing all of these happy, smiley, Muslim people there who are just, you know, perfectly nice individuals. And of course they're not out shouting Allah Akbar and Islam will rule the world and, you know, behead those that insult Islam. All of that does not appear, obviously, in the video. They're just showing the happy, smiley Muslims and of course, portraying American society as being allegedly Islamophobic with this irrational fear. Notice the entire purpose of this so-called Bridge Initiative is to attack the issue of Islamophobia, that there's really nothing wrong with Islam or Islamic aggression or suicide bombers or the fact that Muslims are murdering people every single day in the world, that's not really the concern. The concern is that supposedly Muslims are being attacked. There's an Islamophobic attack happening every 24 to 48 hours, whatever the number it was that they gave. Now, what's remarkable is that they didn't even mention and are highly unlikely to mention. I mean, you can tell this thing is just pure propaganda, absolute pure Jesuitical propaganda. And there's no objectivity to it whatsoever, none. They don't even mention and will certainly not mention the fact that a vast majority of the alleged anti-Islamic attacks and hate crimes that have supposedly happened in this country and different parts of the world, most of them are fake. Most of them have been fabricated by Muslims who claim that some sort of hate crime happened against them when in fact nothing did. Now, if you go on the internet and you type in, well, if you go to wikislam.net, go to wikislam.net and type in fake anti-Muslim hate crimes and other lies, you find a whole article there giving a list. And I have mentioned this on the show before, for those who remember, but I'm bringing it up again because I think it's very, very important. And fake hate crimes, remember, in Islam, they have the doctrine of al-taqiyah. They have the doctrine of lying and fraud. And if you're lying to advance the Islamic agenda and to advance jihad and this kind of thing, then it is a noble act for Muslims. So for a Muslim to make up a fake hate crime so that they can advance their ideology in the West, that is perfectly acceptable in their belief system, in their ideology. I've heard this over and over again from a number of teachers who have taught about Islam for years, and anybody can go and research this. But you go and you look up all of these hate crimes, these fake hate crimes, they're happening in Australia, Austria, Denmark, Finland, Indonesia, Lebanon, in Sweden, the United Kingdom, many of them in the United Kingdom, and then many of them listed in the United States. In fact, according to this website, it would appear that most of the fake hate crimes, at least listed on Wikislam, happen in America, happen in the United States of America. If you type in, I just typed in here, fake anti-Muslim hate crimes, and you've got a whole variety of websites, whether it's Town Hall, whether it's Front Page Mag, Fox News. They've got headlines like The Left and Fake Hate Crimes. Liberalism Hits a New Low. The Hate Report, Fake Hate Strikes, etc. What Fake Hate Crimes Reveal About the Left's Bubble. Hashtag Muslim Ban. Another Week, Another Fake Anti-Muslim Hate Crime. ISU professor arrested for hate crime hoax. Anti-Muslim hate crimes, PJ Media. And PJ Media talks about how with Trump's inauguration, well, they said as Trump's inauguration approaches, this is back in January, they said, quote, the fake hate crime industry has kicked into high gear. And the list goes on and on. Fox News has a headline, what is fueling fake hate crimes across the U.S.? Fake anti-Muslim backlash, Middle East Forum. Fake hate crimes, the National Review. There's even a website called fakehatecrimes.org, and they give a whole list. Now, I haven't gone through this list, just so you know, but there is a website called fakehatecrimes.org. Then you've got one here, fake hate, Indiana professor fabricated anti-Muslim hate crime. And this was back in April of this year, 2017. I mean, the list goes on and on. If you start looking around on the internet, you find this over and over and over again. There's an epidemic of fake hate crimes, especially now there are other groups who have created fake hate crimes. In fact, there was this commercial that was done, a political commercial, showing a white guy in a pickup truck with a rebel flag, a Confederate flag on his truck, and he's chasing down a Muslim child, a Latino child, and another Indian-looking child, but immigrant-looking children, one of them being a Muslim, and supposedly he's chasing them down the street like he wants to run them over. And it was this ridiculous commercial that was engineered to give the impression that this is really what America's about. America, you know, those who believe in any kind of traditional American values and so on are just out trying to victimize the poor immigrants and so on, which is completely absurd, completely absurd. And so these fake hate crimes, you have to keep this in mind, brethren, when you're watching the news. Don't be drawn in to the idea that all these hate crimes are really happening, because for the most part, they're not. There may be some event that happens where somebody does something. We wouldn't necessarily deny that it happens on certain occasions. But generally speaking, it just doesn't happen in our country, generally. And there's a lot more fake hate crime than there are real hate crimes that happen. And notice what happens whenever you have a situation where you've got the Muslims who are victimizing U.S. citizens. They call it workplace violence or something else. They find other ways to describe it. But no matter what's happening, there is a coordinated effort in the media and in the system to guard and to protect Islam and to denounce Western culture while advancing Islamic culture in the United States. And it's a real concern for a lot of people. Many citizens are rightly concerned about it. They have every reason to be concerned, especially when we look at what has been going on in Europe. If anything, all of the pro-Islamic propaganda has deadly consequences, because encouraging people to embrace Islam as though it is something harmless, as though what the Muslim, especially Muslims in third world countries, as though what they are being taught is virtually the same as what we teach in Christianity, which is the false narrative that's been going on for years, teaching that, well, Islam is really no different than Christianity. They basically believe the same things. That is, of course, a lie. It's a provable lie. And it goes beyond. I mean, of course, the foundation lie, the most important, is the fact that Islam denies that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that's the most important element. That's the reason why we've got to, I believe, defend our country against the advance of political Islam in the United States. Because political Islam, as I've said before, and I think it's so important that we remember this, brethren, if political Islam gains the advantage, then they begin to suppress systematically the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the unfortunate consequence. It's not like having people who are Buddhists and Hindus and this kind of thing coming into the country where we don't agree with those ideas. But you can have dialogue, you can still preach, you can witness and go back and forth, etc. These groups typically are not political. They're not getting involved in politics and trying to advance some Eastern mystical agenda, politically speaking. But with Islam, that's not the case. They do have a political agenda, and as their agenda advances, they will seek to suppress Christianity. All right. We're going to go to a commercial break. We'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon. Part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the situation in Saudi Arabia. Now, the reason I wanted to mention what's going on in Saudi Arabia is because they are having some kind of political upheaval there. The new prince he's the future Saudi king. And there's all these reports and stories out there about how he is now beginning to tighten his grip on power. And he has arrested Prince Al-Walid. Okay? And here, this is from Reuters. Reuters says, Prince Al-Walid, just to remind everybody, he is the prince who has been financing the Bridge Initiative at Georgetown University. And he's a very wealthy Saudi Arabian prince, etc. There have been a number of these princes who have been arrested now on corruption charges. And there's all these debates about what's going on and why this upheaval is happening. And some people are speculating that what's really going on is that the corruption charges are really just an excuse to confront political enemies within the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. All right, but here's what Reuters has to say. Reuters says this, quote, Saudi Arabia's future king has tightened his grip on power through an anti-corruption purge by arresting royals, ministers, and investors, including billionaire Al-Walid bin Talal, who is one of the kingdom's most prominent businessmen. Prince Al-Walid, a nephew of the king and owner of investment firm Kingdom Holding, invests in firms such as Citigroup and Twitter. He was among 11 princes, 4 ministers, and tens of former ministers detained, 3 senior officials told Reuters on Sunday. Okay, and then it goes on from there and talks about the others who are caught up in this. But this has really caused a lot of people to speculate about what is going on. Is this somehow or other? Because this new young prince, the future king, he is much more liberal and progressive in his thinking, in that he wants, right now, one of the things he's done is he's now given women in Saudi Arabia the right to drive cars, which is a big advance for women's rights in that country. There's another interesting development where it says before the arrest on Saturday of his fellow royals and former ministers on corruption allegations, Prince Mohammed had stripped the religious police of their arrest powers and expanded the space for women in public life, including promising them the right to drive, which we just talked about. So the religious police stripping them of their arrest powers, that would mean, you know, typically arresting for people on because they've you know, not followed some ordinance or other based on the Islamic religion. So it really does seem like, at least right now, although if from the commentaries I'm reading, nobody really fully understands what's going on. Some people think this could be this young prince hitting against the globalist element, because a lot of these guys are big businessmen who interact at the globalist level. And this prince, the guy we're talking about here, Prince Al-Walid, the one who finances Georgetown University, he is definitely a globalist-minded Saudi Arabian prince. There's no question about that. That's why he's working with the Jesuits there, because he is part of this globalist initiative. And the initiative, of course, is to advance Islam. It's not really about ecumenism, although I suppose on the face of it, some people are going to see it that way. But from what we've seen, it's not about that at all. It's all about trying to create pro-Islamic propaganda that is not only pro-Islam, but it is at the same time anti-Western and hence anti-Christian, that the West is just full of bigots and racists and people who have an irrational fear of foreigners. That's the idea that they're communicating. It's not about let's build an understanding together. It's none of that. It's no, the West are a bunch of irrational bigots, and the Muslims are victims of their bigotry. That's how it's portrayed. Now, Robert Spencer talks about this on his website, Jihad Watch, where he draws attention to Georgetown. He says, quote, Saudis arrest Prince Al-Walid, benefactor of Georgetown's Islamophobia program. Of course, that's exactly what it is. He says this, Robert Spencer says, the arrest of Prince Al-Walid in any case is good news, but not for any reason that the establishment media will present. The corruption charge in Saudi Arabia is as absurd as handing out speeding tickets at the Indianapolis 500. That's what Spencer says. Then he says, quote, Al-Walid is the chief financier of Georgetown's Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding, named for himself, one of the primary propaganda factories that perpetuate the Islamophobia myth in the United States. Within that center is the Bridge Initiative, which purports to build bridges between Muslims and Christians, but is actually devoted to smearing and defaming opponents of jihad terror and Sharia oppression. Spencer says, quote, if the Saudis are really committed to reform, let them close down their Georgetown Islamophobia propaganda mill. Okay, but of course the real culprits here are the Jesuits. They're the real culprits, because it wouldn't exist unless the Jesuits allowed it to exist at their university. But the fact that they are a part of this whole thing fits in with what they have been doing since the 1960s. And I think it's very important that we understand this, brethren. This Islamic wave into the Western world did not begin a few years ago, or even 5 or 10 years ago. It didn't begin with 9/11. It did not begin with the Iraq War. It began back in the 1960s. So this entire movement to bring Islam systematically into the Western world and effectively have the Islamic religion replace Christianity, because that's, you know, that's what they're calling it in Western Europe, the Great Replacement. This plan goes back to the 1960s. And I believe the beginning of it in many ways, although I can't say this was the exact beginning, but one of the beginning points for me is Vatican Council II. The Jesuits Vatican Council II, because that is where they created the dialogue on Islam, and their dialogue from Vatican II has been repeated over and over and over again. It has become the official position that anybody takes about Islam in the West. That Muslims essentially worship the same God as Catholics and Christians, that we should just forget about whatever happened in the past and embrace the Muslims as fellow worshipers of God. That's the idea. And of course, it's all based on sophistry and casuistry and manipulation and the denial of the fundamental teachings of Christianity. But that's what you have in Vatican Council II, that propaganda. And this was in the early 1960s. Then by 1968, then you have Enoch Powell and his Rivers of Blood speech, where he's warning that this flow of immigrants into the West and into the United Kingdom, that this, he says he's envisioning rivers of blood flowing as a result. Now, it's remarkable that Powell was saying this back in the 1960s. To me, that's just really remarkable that he foresaw this back in 1968 and so on, and then talked about it years later as well. You can find his interviews online where he's discussing it. But he envisioned this back then. Now, you know, I grew up in the 1970s and 80s. I do not remember anyone during that time or through the 90s, through Bill Clinton, prior to 9/11, I do not remember there being any serious, significant concern about Islam in the Western world ever been taught to me by anyone until 9/11, until the 9/11 attack took place, really attacks, until all of that happened. During the Bush administration, I don't remember anyone really telling me that the advance of Islam in the Western world was a concern. But it had been going on for decades. So we've got to lift up a shout. We've got to continue to oppose this. And most of all, we've got to continue in our prayers to Almighty God to deliver us from the hands of our enemies, all of them now, not just the Muslims who are hostile, but the Marxists who are really the ones driving this whole thing from the beginning. All right, brethren, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.